In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. The history of the month of May as a Marian month, a month dedicated to Mary, isn't as clear as we would like it to be. Although we do have some very interesting facts and traditions which give us some elements to understand why is this particular month out of the 12 forming our calendar, why this particular month was picked to be the one of Our Lady. In classical Western culture, whether Latin, Roman, or Greek, May has always been the month of fertility. And this for obvious reason, when life begins again, when nature vests itself with a new life, as trees and plants and flowers slowly reveal their beautiful colors and green leaves. Flowers quietly start blooming after a long, tough, and sterile winter, particularly here in our dear state of Michigan. In Roman mythology, May is Flora's month. Flora, goddess of bloom and blossom, as her very name indicates, Flora meaning flower, blossom. And so according to Roman mythology, Titus Tatius, king of Sabines in central Italy and ruler of Rome for a few years alongside with Romulus, is said to have introduced her cult to Rome, the cult of Flora, as well as, unfortunately, many other pagan cults to many pagan gods and goddesses, such as Saturn, Sol, or the Sun, Luna, or the Moon, Diana, and so on. The temple of Flora stood near the famous Circus Maximus, where public games and chariot races connected to religious festivals were held. In fact, in that gigantic stadium, which is today a public park in Rome, just a few blocks away from the Colosseum, where thousands of Christians would receive the crown of martyrdom. Well, in that circus, Flora also had her own festivals. The Floralia, or Ludi Flore, the Games of Flora, from typically April 28th until May 3rd, which were instituted a little over 200 years before the coming of our Lord. Unfortunately, as many times in the old ancient world, these public celebrations and farces and plays and other theatrical pagan ceremonies diametrically opposed to what was to become in Rome, the Catholic liturgy. All these public celebrations were known for their licentiousness, debauchery, and degeneracy. Lactantius, a Christian author from the 3rd century, wrote about it in very severe words. He said, "Those games are celebrated with all debauchery, as is suitable to the memory of a prostitute. For besides licentiousness of words, in which all lewdness is poured forth, women are also stripped of their garments at the demand of the people, and then perform the office of mime plays, and are detained in the sight of the people with immodest gestures, even to the satiating of unchaste eyes." About a century later, the great St. Augustine also strongly criticized these celebrations, which means they were still occurring in Rome at the time of St. Augustine, questioning why it should be more satisfactory to irritate the gods by temperance than to pacify them by debauchery, and to provoke their hate by honest living then soothe it by such unseemly debauchery. Centuries later, and unfortunately of unknown origin, a celebration of motherhood slowly developed, particularly in Ireland, England, Wales, with what we know today as Mother's Day. But interesting enough, the celebration of Mother's Day finds its origin in the celebration of Mothering Sunday. Again, particularly in these areas, these Celtic areas and English areas, in honor of mother churches. The church where one was baptized. So a special celebration for and in the church where one received the gift of spiritual life. And from that tradition of the mothering church, slowly came into practice that famous Mother's Day, honoring now after celebrating our spiritual birth, now celebrating our own mother from whom we all received physical life. Mother's Day, we will celebrate next week. In Catholic Encyclopedia, we read that the May devotion to Our Lady in its present form originated at Rome much later, towards the end of the 18th century, where Father Latomia, a Jesuit, to counteract infidelity and immorality among the students in Rome, made a vow at the end of the 18th century to devote the month of May to Mary. From Rome, the practice, as often, spread quickly to nearly every Catholic church of Latin Rite. And this practice, interesting enough, is the oldest example of a devotion extending over an entire month. So when taking a quick glance at history, we can certainly admit that many times, if not always, the devil likes to mock, to mimic divine realities and mysteries, to establish his own religion and cult, and to bring souls to confusion, doubts, and even to blindness, intellectual blindness in regard to what is good, what is beautiful, and what is true, and offers instead what is deceit, evil, and ugly, ungodly, and degrading. He had no clear knowledge of the fact that a young, humble Jewish girl would one day become the Theotokos, the Mother of God. Yet, as an angel, as a pure spirit, he certainly has and had a much better knowledge of Holy Scriptures than any of us will ever have. And so he can mock and twist and make all kind of parodies of the many prefigurations, the many announcements we find in the Old Testament about a powerful, a mysterious woman, a mother, what seems to be mother of a god, and yet a virgin, called to crush under her foot the head of the infernal enemy. Yes, all these are announced, prefigured in the Old Testament. And so the devil, with a much better knowledge than we do, can put all this together and make some pretty good, pretty accurate assumptions about the role of our Blessed Mother. And with Flora and her cult, as in the case of many other goddesses and pagan cults, Christianity comes to reaffirm the rights of God and superiority of Christianity over all these pagan cults, and to reestablish the proper cult now to the Queen of Angels and Men. Today's crowning of Mary and procession is not some kind of theatrical performance, but the public reaffirmation of the rights of God over his creation and over any created powers. Make no mistake here, and be careful, no syncretism. No syncretism, no sort of mixing of rituals and traditions, mixing of myths and history, no, but a divine, profound anthropological transformation, a transformation of the whole of humanity, where God, through the liturgy, through the public service of the church, regained possession of his dominion, tearing us out of the devil's grip, where sin, debauchery, impurity prevailed. God Almighty turned it all into grace, morality, and purity for man's sanctification. And so this simple celebration should be an opportunity for us to acknowledge, to appreciate, to taste a little bit more God's goodness and benevolent love, benevolare, to desire, to will the good of the other. Benevolent love of God in our life. As always, he can draw good even from an evil. Ask and you shall receive, says our Lord. And today we pray our Blessed Mother in a special way. Invite you to pray maybe today in a special way. Pray the litany at home at the end of your rosary. Ask for intercession. Pray for us as we repeat. Pray for us. Pray for us. We bring these flowers to Mary. We crown her with this beautiful crown of flowers. As a reminder of what Saint Bernard already said, it is God's will that we should receive all graces through Mary. We can only hope that one day this will be defined as a dogma to be accepted by all. Mary as mediatrix of all graces, which is not yet defined as a dogma, but you're certainly allowed to embrace this reality, this thought, this hopefully future dogma of Mary, mediatrix of all graces. She's mediatrix, and that mediation is a twofold mediation, ascending and descending mediation. First, ascending, because Mary is at the top. She is the summit of man's perfection, spiritual perfection in one creature, in its relation with God. And so she takes the whole of humanity up to God. And descending mediation, of course, as Mary is the channel, the aqueduct through which God comes down to us, through whom he gives himself to us, to the world. And so all the titles of Mary as mediatrix, mother, queen, all find their source and origin in the mystery of the Incarnation. Incarnation when she gave her fiat to the angel. Incarnation also when she stands at the foot of the cross on Mount Calvary. Her consent to the mystery of the Incarnation, of her divine motherhood, cannot be separated from her consent to the mystery of the cross and of our salvation, Redemptoris Mater, Mother of the Redeemer. May we, during this month of May, renew the fervor of our prayers to Mary, and may today's First Communions rekindle in our hearts the lovely memories of our First Communion. Let's meditate on Mary's sentiments when she received the angel's message to become the Mother of God. That first instant when she was filled with grace, which we can certainly consider as Mary's first communion, the moment of the Incarnation. What infinite joy must have filled her soul. May we share today in that joy and happiness by renewing our devotion to Mary and to her Eucharistic Son. Amen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.